I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Today I'm speaking with Andre Wade, State Director of Silver State Equality. Silver State Equality is Nevada's statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights organization, and they're holding their annual Silver State Equality Awards event and ceremony this coming Thursday, September 8th at the MGM Conference Center in Las Vegas. Andre, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So when was Silver State Equality founded, and what exactly does it do?
So Silver State Equality was founded back in 2019. We are a program of Equality California. They're the largest statewide LGBTQ organization in the nation. Mm-hmm. And they put resources into Nevada to start Silver State Equality. Our mission is to bring the voices of LGBTQ plus people to the institutions of power to create a world that is healthy, just, and fully equal. And so we do that by passing poor equality legislation here in Nevada and in D.C., as we have a national policy director out in D.C., getting poor equality candidates elected to office. And then we do public education advocacy on a myriad of issues.
Okay, so basically it started in California and then branched out because you're doing so much in Nevada that you decided to expand to the state?
Yeah, so there are about 40 some odd equality groups, as we call them, throughout the nation in various states. And at one point, Nevada did not have a statewide equality group. And so Equality California put resources into Nevada to start an effort out here. And so I'm a Nevadan, I'm based in Nevada. Our board of advisors are all from Nevada. So the work that we do is all Nevada focused.
Awesome. Okay, so as I mentioned, coming up, you've got the Silver State Equality Awards. What happens at that event and during that ceremony?
This is our annual event. It's our fourth annual, and it's a cocktail reception, so a little different format from your seated and plated event. But it's a time for us to celebrate our leaders and supporters in Nevada. And so we have a slate of honorees. This year, we are honoring Congresswoman Susie Lee, former mayor of West Wendover, Daniel Corona, and an advocate, Holly Wellborn. And we have a special appearance by Miss Nevada this year.
Nice. Okay. So how do you decide who you're going to honor at each annual awards ceremony?
So our host committee and our advisory board take a look at the work that's been done by advocates and allies throughout the year. And we see who do we want to uplift. And so Congresswoman Susie Lee has always been a staunch LGBTQ plus ally and supporter. So it's our turn to recognize her work and support. And as an example, Daniel Corona is a member of the LGBTQ plus community, and he was the mayor of West Wendover in rural part of Nevada. So we want to acknowledge his visibility and the work that he's done. And again, Holly Wellborn, part of the community, formerly with ACLU Nevada, has done a lot of work for years throughout the state of Nevada to support equality.
Okay, perfect. So I mentioned that the awards are coming up on Thursday, which is September 8th, and it's at the MGM Conference Center. But can you give us some more details about the specifics of the when and the where?
Yeah, so the event is from 5 to 8. The program is about 6 to 7. And so we will have folks speaking. We're going to have the event hosted by Michaela Gordon. She is an actress, comedian, and singer. She is best known for her appearance on American Idol. And so she will be performing as well as hosting the event. And her partner, DJ Lisa, will be performing as well. So we're really excited about that. And we also have another special guest that we are looking to finalize in the next couple of days. And we'll make an announcement about that person pretty soon.
Okay. And how can people get tickets if they want to attend?
So anyone can go to our website, silverstateequality.org, and click on the events tab, and you can go down to our Silver State Equality Awards 2022 link and click on there and find out how you can be a sponsor or purchase individual tickets. We'll have a few hundred people in the room. It's always a great event. People love the format because it's a cocktail reception. There's some seats there, small bites and refreshments, and it's a good time to just celebrate the work of equality and to hear people with some inspiring speeches. So it's really a good time.
Okay. And when it's not awards and ceremony time, are there other ways that people can help out the organization, whether that's volunteering or fundraising or donating?
Yes, we are always looking for donors and supporters. People can sign up and become a member. They can sign up for our newsletter. They can sign up to participate in volunteer events. So as an example, we're going to be marching in the Pride Parade this October. So we're looking for folks to walk with us. And if people want to volunteer at the festival, they're more than welcome to reach out to us and sign up. And just throughout the year, we send out action alerts, just letting people know what's happening in the equality movement. We might ask them to sign a petition or to spread the word about something that's happening that's current event related, and just really just be involved and connected to the organization and support the work that we do on behalf of the LGBTQ plus Nevadans.
Fantastic. Okay. So SilverStateEquality.org is the website, SilverStateEquality.org. You can find out more information about Silver State Equality as an organization. You can also get involved as a donor, as a volunteer, find out about the events that are coming up, sign up for the newsletter. But the awards and ceremony, the annual Silver State Equality Awards ceremony and event is taking place on Thursday. That's September 8th. Cocktails start at 5 p.m. and then there's the awards and the reception, and it's all done by 8. So 5 to 8 p.m. is the time frame on Thursday, and it's at the MGM Conference Center, which is at 4701 Koval Lane. So once again, SilverStateEquality.org is where to get all that information. And Andre, I want to thank you for being here and letting us know more about the organization and what you guys are doing, and also about the award ceremony coming up. So thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. I love spreading the word, so I really appreciate it.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I gotta tell you, I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too, but I'm glad we are.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and life experiences come together through conversation, and it feels good.
Wow, your story is so...
Interesting?
Yeah.
When people actually sit down, talk, and listen to one another, they can break down boundaries and connect as human beings. At lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep, you can listen to amazing, life-changing conversations and find simple tools to start a conversation of your own.
I know one thing. This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together by having the courage to start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm your host, Heather Vail. Today I'm speaking with three of the officers from the nonprofit Women Marines Association's NV3 Sagebrush Marines. Lucretia Abrego is chapter president and retired from the Marine Corps active duty. Lori O'Neill is secretary and served 4 years active duty before becoming a nurse. Renee Caseman is treasurer, and she served on active duty from 2004 to 2015. Lucretia, Lori, and Renee, thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
So what exactly is the Women Marines Association?
So the Women Marines Association is a nonprofit organization that has many chapters across our country. And we are dedicated to a mission of serving our veterans, active duty also. Basically, we try to support our veterans, and specifically the females. Female Marines, because we are a Marine Corps organization, mm-hmm. but we would never turn any other veteran, Air Force, our sister services, we would never turn them away. If they needed help, we would help them, even the males. And we would probably have like the Marine Corps League, if it was a male, help us. But yes, we're here to help our veterans, our females specifically, with unique issues that females have that aren't addressed, that are still not addressed. This in 2022, we're still not addressing the unique issues that females have when transitioning to the civilian world. And that's why we're here. We're here to try to help them through that transition and any other things.
What are some of the unique issues that women Marines have when transitioning to civilian life?
Renee?
Unique situations is same situations that you have in the military. Females are never really good enough sometimes, and it's hard to transition back into that world. Being a female in the service in general, you're learning to lead and train individuals. So coming out of the service, especially in the civilian world, it could be taken a different way. So you might need those new skills to be able to adapt to the new culture that you're not in. So you got that transitioning out of the military. Your skill set, depending on what you did in the military, might not be transferable into the civilian world. You also have the motherhood as well with your children. And that's unique in its way as well, because a lot of males, they always have the female to count on for the children and school and stuff like that. But now you have to deal with it a little harder, because in the military, you have that support system that you don't have in the civilian world. Resume writing skills, interview skills, all those unique challenges that you will come upon, because in the military, you're not really doing interviewing skills to get your job. You just sign a contract and you go in and you get a job and you do your job. It doesn't matter if you have the skill set or not, they're going to train you for that job. When you get out of the military, you might not have that skill set that that job is looking for, and no one's going to give you that skill set. So those are unique. It's not just unique to the female either. It's unique to the males as well. It's a veteran in general.
Yeah.
But the females are a little different. Like I said, you have a bigger support system in the military than you do outside of the military. Because then reality hits. Oh man, I got to find a babysitter if I got to get a job or whatever the case it might be.
And those issues exist when they're in the Marine Corps too, because, you know, they're deploying, they're going to the field, usually the female. I'm divorced now, but when I was in the service and I had another active duty spouse, and every time I had to go to the field or do whatever, I had to figure out about a babysitter. He deployed, I took care of the kids. I deployed or had to go to the field and I had to figure out, what am I doing with the kids? So it always seems to fall on the female's shoulders. And then also in the military, whether we like it or not, you're kind of an outsider inside. It's still not 100% females accepted. Mm-hmm. And so when you get out and here you are because you were in the military. So you're more comfortable doing, you know, things that happen in the military, going to the field, talking about going to Afghanistan or whatever. And civilian females don't relate to that. They're like, why would you even do that? Why would you even join the service? So now you find yourself alienated, even in the civilian world. You don't fit in as a female civilian and you don't fit in the military world. And so for us, if they can find us, then we can help them transition, because all of us have experienced. And just as you see, like Renee and Lori and myself, we have different opinions of what a transition female is going through, right? And we're from different decades. I, of course, am probably the oldest. So what I experience in my decade is different than what Renee experiences and what Lori experienced. So we have this culture of women with different experiences. And how do we help them? And how do we help past women along with the women of today? That's kind of my story. And what I'm hoping you'll kind of do is find the women here in Las Vegas that could use our help, that we could help them and they could help us. And so that's big, you know, one of my biggest hopes and dreams, that you'll be able to help us find them and help them if we need to, or they can join us and help us help others.
Yeah, for sure.
And one of the other things is sexual assault and sexual abuse as well. I mean, I'm pretty sure you see it in the news all the time, people getting on TikTok about superiors, possibly with a sexual assault or something like that. In the military, you don't really talk about it because you don't know what's right and you don't know what's wrong. And if you report somebody, you're going to be frowned upon. You're not going to get your promotion or whatever the case is. And sometimes you need that support system when you get out, because maybe you didn't talk about it when you were in the military, or maybe you did, and that's the reason you're out of the military and you need to get back onto your mental health. By having female Marines here to support the other females in their female needs, and that's one of them, because that's a big thing that happens in the military that is not talked about a lot.
And one of the things that Renee shared with me is a Facebook called Female Marines. And I want to understand, you know, what our women need today. And so I've been looking at all the female media, and I hate to tell you, but in 2022, we're still having, if it's not 8 out of 10 women that post something, are all talking about the military sexual trauma that they reported, experienced, didn't report, and didn't get the mental health that they need for. So for me, I would like to be able to reach out to these women and figure out the Veterans Administration, all these different support groups that are supposed to be helping, the Wounded Warriors, like how many of them have special, unique issues that women need? I don't know. And I feel like when I talk to women there, they don't talk about it, because in the military, and I was in 1974, and the first duty station I went to, one girl was going through, she had been sexually assaulted, and I was there. And I mean, I don't know, I was new, I was scared, I was 17. And they made her the person, saying that she was a vil repute, that it was her, that she was lying. And then the command treated her bad. And that's, from what I'm hearing Renee say, that's still the case. The case is women won't talk because the command may not treat you well, will say that you're a liar, that you put yourself in that situation. And so they don't talk, because we're not just talking about reputation now. You're talking about your career, your job, being ostracized because for whatever reason, women are not being supported. It's just... And I don't want it to sound like a complaint, right? I don't want us to say, oh, we're complaining again. We're not. I just want to be able to help women. And what can we do as retired veterans in this organization that can help guide the active duty world and Congress and whoever else we have to help our women, our veterans?
Yeah. Okay. So you offer support to veterans and you offer support to active duty Marines, but your chapter also seems to do a lot of charity events. Specifically, coming up next week, you've got a charity golf tournament. Could you tell me more about that?
I'll do the lighter stuff here. The golf tournament, we are grateful for our Greater Las Vegas Marine Corps League Detachment 186 that has taken us in under their wings. We're new officers into the chapter, and they've invited us to join in on a lot of their events. And one of them is the golf tournament, charity golf tournament that's coming up at the Legacy Golf Club here in Henderson. It's going to be on September 10th. And their focus with the Marine Corps League is they help veterans with PTSD, depression, anxiety. They help to assist them in getting the help that's needed. And we're whole sponsors, so we are out there to help them with that. And also any other women that come along and anyone that we can help too.
Okay. How can people get tickets if they want to take part in the golf tournament specifically?
The Greater Nevada Detachment Marine Corps League 186. They have a website and they have a Facebook page. They've got www.gnd186mclmarinecorpsleague.org/golf tournament. And the registration is $130 per player, which I understand is a pretty good price from what I've heard. And it includes the banquet afterwards. And if you just want to go to the banquet, it's $40 for the banquet.
So tell us a little bit more about the biannual National WMA Convention and Symposium that's coming up.
So every 2 years, the WMA Association, which is our national level, right? We're all chapters underneath them. Mm-hmm. There is a a hosting chapter, which we are this year. And basically it's a fundraiser for the national and to get out exposure. And we have like symposium to some working groups that they will decide what the working group is about. I believe one of them is going to be about social media and how to get out there on social media and tell your story. So there, some people want to write a book or write about their experiences in the military, some of the females. So one of those working groups is going to tell them how kind of to do that. So there's different working groups. And this year, we usually do a fun run, or the National usually does a fun run. Nobody pays. We just do a little walk or whatever. But this year, because it conflicted with the Vegas Strong Run that Just Run is putting out, the WMA and our chapter co-sponsored, they're sponsors of this event. So some of our people are going to run or walk or whatever for this event, because it goes to all the survivors of this tragedy. And, you know, so like I said, it's our community. So we want to help veterans, but we also understand that we live within a community, and it's now just, it's about helping our community. So we gave some money for that to be sponsors of that run during the convention.
Okay. Awesome. So Renee, you were active duty for over a decade. You know, you've talked about some challenges that veterans and active duty members face. Obviously, there's some positive sides as well. So why should people consider joining the Marines, especially women, as opposed to other branches of the military?
I think women should join the Marines because, one, it's a challenge. Everybody says you can't do it. And just to have that challenge alone is awesome. And there's a difference between saying that you're in the Army or the Air Force. When you tell somebody you're a Marine, it's like, it's the power that you hear from them. Like, how was boot camp? Oh my gosh, you made it. It's just an excitement. And it's a culture that you will never find anywhere. When you're in the military, that culture lives with you forever. Those friends and families that you met along your path and your way, they will always be there for you and you will always see them. And the benefit about it is, if you're not used to being around people from different cultures or different states or anything, or even traveling the world, is one of the greatest things too, right? So Marines are global. So they're in air, they're in land, and they're in the sea. It's one of the only branches that do all three. So it's pretty amazing. And you get that chance of leadership. So no matter what rank you are, you're already becoming top of the superior. So that leadership ability is successful in the civilian world if somebody's wants to give you a chance. But it's a little hard out, but in, there's many benefits because you get to go to school. You get to transfer your GI Bill to your kids if you don't utilize it. You get housing when you get out. You get housing when you're in. I mean, there's plenty of benefits along the way. And I think it's a great thing to do as well. If you're undecided about what you want to do with your life and you're in high school, you want to go to college, but you don't know, with student debt right now, I suggest everybody go in the military so they could do 4 years and get their school paid for. That's one of the greatest things.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Lori, where can people find out more information about the Women Marines Association and also your chapter, NV3 Sagebrush?
Well, the Women Marines Association has also a Facebook page, WMA@womenmarines.org. And we are NV3@womenmarines.org. We also have a Facebook page. We have meetings for any Marines that would like to join us, or we also have escort members that are not Marines that just want to support us. We also have that membership available. We meet the third Thursday of every month, and we'd like to give a shout out to our Leathernut Club hosts. You know, it's not all bad. We get support from our brothers, and our brother Marines have Ghost is the owner there, opened up his Leathernut Club library to us to have our meetings every third Thursday of the month. at 6 o'clock p.m. And that's on Spring Mountain Road. And he's also got a museum there. But yeah, we have our meetings once a month. And otherwise, just catch us on the Facebook page, or the WMA has all the Facebook page and their website.
Okay, awesome. So womenmarines.org is the website for the Women Marines Association, womenmarines.org. You can also find them on Facebook. The NV3 Sagebrush Marines chapter webpage on Facebook is NV3 Sagebrush Marines. So facebook.com/NV3 Sagebrush Marines if you want to find out more about their chapter. They meet the third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on Spring Mountain Road, and you can get the details there or email them nv3@womenmarines.org. nv3@womenmarines.org. And then so we've got the charity golf tournament coming up next Saturday, September 10th. It's a 1:30 p.m. shotgun, 6 p.m. banquet. You can find out more information about that at the Greater Nevada Marine Corps League Detachment 186 website, which is gnd186mcl.org/golf tournament. So G like giraffe, N like Nancy, D like dog, 186mcl.org/golf tournament. And that's going to be at the Legacy Golf Club again, next Saturday, September 10th. And then they also have the National Women Marines Association Convention and Symposium coming up at the Golden Nugget Hotel, which is at the end of the month, September 29th through October 2nd. So if you're interested in joining the organization, I'm sure they can tell you more about that. And then the Vegas Strong Just Run that you guys are supporting, that's going to be on Sunday, October 2nd. Downtown Las Vegas, and you can find out more information at justrun.com, JUSRUN.com, no T, JUSRUN.com/races/Vegas Strong. But again, for Women Marines Association in general, womenmarines.org is the place to go. And for NV3 Sagebrush, you want to find them on Facebook. So facebook.com/NV3 Sagebrush Marines. It sounds like you guys have a lot going on. You've got a lot of events, a lot of interesting things going on, and I'm sure it's a great opportunity for anyone listening who is veterans, retired Marine, or even active duty Marine and looking for that support. So I want to thank you all for being here and letting everyone know about your organization and what you're doing and how you're helping and giving back. It's been great talking to you, so thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Welcome to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and today I'm speaking with Tom Kovac, Executive Director of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation. This nonprofit organization was established in 1999 to support and supplement Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department programs and initiatives. And coming up next month is their second annual Halloween Dog Parade. Tom, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me back, Heather. It's great to be here.
So you have been on the show a few times, and regular listeners will already know all about the LVMPD Foundation. But for those who aren't familiar, what exactly does the foundation do?
So the foundation has two primary objectives. One is to raise money for the police department and public safety. We raise funds for equipment purchases, for technology purchases. We raise money for training, advanced training of our officers. We raise money for a scholarship program for the sons and daughters of our officers. We raise money for health and wellness of our officers. And we also raise money for hundreds of community engagement programs that the police department takes on every year. The second big objective is to build stronger relationships between the police department and the communities they serve. And we do that through a variety of events and publications and other communications so that the public can see that our officers are human beings just like them. They have families, they have interests outside of law enforcement. They're real people who are not only committed to working tirelessly to keep us safe every day and night, but also have talents and interests that go beyond that. And we want to show that human side of the badge.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of community events, as I mentioned, the Halloween Dog Parade coming up. What happens at that event?
So it's a really fun event. We did this for the first time last year, and it allows our supporters and community members to come with their favorite pet and parade their dog in a competition, or they can just come and enjoy the event and the fellow company of supporters of the foundation and fellow canine supporters. So it's really fun. Last year there were lots of dogs in costumes and lots of humans in costumes as well. So not a requirement for the people to be in costume. It's not a requirement for the dog to be in costume either. But if you want to participate in the parade, then the dog would be dressed up.
Do the dogs need to do any special tricks or just look cute in their costumes?
No special tricks are required, just to, as you say, look cute in their costume.
I have a few dogs that look super cute in their costumes, so yeah, I might have to get involved in that. What are the various prizes for the winners?
So there's top dog, best dog and human duo, and best pack, in case you have multiple dogs that you're bringing with you, or you're getting together with friends and competing together with your entire pack of dogs.
Okay. And what do the proceeds go towards supporting?
So we support our canine section of the police department. The funds primarily go to support the care for retired dogs. So the foundation covers the veterinary expenses of the dogs who have retired from service. So we want to make sure that those dogs are cared for and given the right attention that they so well deserve following their service as protecting us all in the community.
What happens to canine department dogs when they retire? What does their life look like?
Well, they get the opportunity to be well cared for by usually their handler, and they have the opportunity to continue to be part of that person's life and be connected to the friend that they've created and working partner that they've created over, you know, the many years that they were serving. So we want them to have as good a retirement as possible.
Okay, and for those of us who don't work with police dogs and don't know what, you know, how long their prime is, how do you know when a dog is ready to retire from the canine department?
Wow, that's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not on the department. The foundation is an independent entity, so I'll certainly find out.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Well, you know, it just came to me as you were speaking. It's like, how do we know?
That's a great question.
Yeah, okay. Well, next time you come on, I'll ask you again, and you'll have the answer then for that.
I will definitely make sure I get that.
Awesome. So when and where is the Halloween Dog Parade taking place this year?
It's on Sunday, October 2nd from 10 a.m. to noon. It's going to be at the Dollar Loan Center over in Henderson. So we're really looking forward to partnering with them for this event. And as I said, there'll be the opportunity to mingle with fellow supporters and their dogs. There's going to be food stations along with the bone bar. So there'll be something for our canine friends to have while they're there as a treat. There'll be a raffle, there'll be a DJ, and a number of pet-friendly activities. So it's going to be a really jam-packed 2 hours of fun, not only for the dogs, but for their human friends who are coming along as well.
Nice. Okay. So how can people register either to be part of the contest or just to attend the event as spectators?
So they can go to our website, lvmpdfoundation.org. There they'll see the information. Registration is $50 per dog and is now open. So people don't have to wait. They can sign on now. And we're really looking forward to having them attend.
Okay. And how can listeners find out more about other events and initiatives that the foundation's working on or get involved in offering support, whether that's donating or volunteering or whatever?
The best place to find information about us is our website, lvmpdfoundation.org. That has information on all of our upcoming events, how to make a gift, the different programs and services we fund, the impact we have. So it's a great resource for people looking to learn more, and they'll soon be able to find out not only on the website, but also at Halloween, the information on the 2023 canine calendar, which is another popular canine supportive activity that we do every year. The calendar is currently being produced and will be available for sale for the first time at Halloween and then on our website as well.
So the dogs that are featured in the calendar, are those working police dogs?
Yes. So each year we do a calendar featuring current working dogs.
Okay, nice. So lvmpdfoundation.org is the place to go for the information. The second annual Halloween Dog Parade is coming up on Sunday, October 2nd from 10 a.m. till noon at Dollar Loan Center in Henderson, the hockey arena in Henderson, Dollar Loan Center. There will be categories for Top Dog, Best Dog and Human Duo, and Best Pack. Registration is $50 per dog, and that is going to support the canines that are retiring from the police department. And you will also have the opportunity to purchase the calendar, the LVMPD Foundation Canine Calendar for 2023. So again, Sunday, October 2nd from 10 a.m. to noon, and all the information is at lvmpdfoundation.org, as well as other events and initiatives going on with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation. Tom, thank you so much for being here and letting us know. It sounds like a super fun event. And by the way, what does it cost for people that are just attending as spectators?
They're able to come for free.
Okay, nice. So spectators are free. If you want to enter your dog, $50 per dog. And again, lvmpdfoundation.org. Tom, thank you so much for letting us know about this event. Sounds super fun. And I hope that all the dog lovers come out and support the event. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Heather.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Today I'm speaking with Mark Melman, president of the American Association of Political Consultants and CEO of the Melman Group, a polling and consulting firm whose clients include leading political figures and Fortune 500 companies. Mark's one of the nation's leading public opinion researchers and communication strategists, and his new research study on behalf of Consumers for Quality Care shows exorbitant health care costs, including out-of-pocket costs, are heavily weighing on Nevada voters' minds. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So what exactly is the Melman Group, and when was it founded?
Well, the Melman Group was founded in the 1980s. We're a strategic research firm that works for political clients as well as for nonprofit organizations and corporate clients.
Okay. And what did you find out from your recent research study on behalf of Consumers for Quality Care?
Well, Nevadans, and we polled Nevadans, are very concerned about healthcare and particularly about the rising cost of healthcare. 73% of Nevadans say that not only is the cost of healthcare continuing to go up, but it's going up by more than other things that they need. So tremendous concern about the cost of healthcare, particularly, as you said, co-pays and deductibles. But importantly, this concern about cost really dominating voters' concerns.
Okay. And what is Consumers for Quality Care?
Consumers for Quality Care is an advocacy organization that tries to give voice to the vast majority of Americans who are consumers of healthcare in this country.
Now, what specific aspects of out-of-pocket healthcare costs do voters feel are too high? Is it all across the board, or did they pinpoint specific things?
Well, deductibles are the biggest pain point, especially for people who have private insurance. But these surprise medical billing we found in the past, other kinds of issues like this, also very great concern to Nevadans. In general, it's cost, but deductibles are the biggest pain point.
Where do these surprise billing amounts come from? Like, why do we not expect a cost and then all of a sudden we've got a bill?
Well, I'm not an expert on the policy side, but my understanding is that you go to a hospital, for example, and while the hospital is part of the network, some particular set of doctors or some particular set of procedures in the hospital may not be part of the insurance network. And therefore, the insurance doesn't cover it. You're at a hospital that's part of the network and therefore is covered, but you get a bill from a department that's not covered, for example. So there's a number of ways in which this can happen, but it is a grave concern to lots of folks.
So does that mean we should be asking more questions at every step along the way? Hey, is this covered? Is that covered? What's this going to cost me?
Well, unfortunately, that is necessary. If you're concerned about the potential for cost, you want to make sure things are covered. You need to ask those questions. Obviously, sometimes that's not really possible. But the bottom line is we got to change public policy so people aren't in the position where they have to ask every question exactly correctly to be protected against these surprise billings. They should be protected against these high out-of-pockets and these high deductibles. And voters favor capping, for example, those deductibles and those co-pays. And that's a very reasonable policy proposal that the Congress could undertake.
Okay, so public policy is the answer. What exactly can listeners do to affect that and make sure that we get more affordable health care in the state?
Well, it's really a question of making clear to your legislators, both federal legislators in Congress and state legislators in Carson City, that these issues are of grave concern and that voters, that consumers want action. And mobilizing to communicate to those legislators to make sure they know this issue is of great significance to voters and that it will be part of their calculus in deciding who to vote for, that's really important.
Okay, so what's the timeline on something like this? Like, so we call up the state legislators, complain, hey, we think healthcare costs are way too high. We want public policy to change. How soon will that actually happen?
Well, there's no guarantee that it will. There's special interests on the other side that are trying to keep in place these systems that cost consumers a lot of money. So it's a real battle, but citizens have to engage in that battle to have a chance of winning. But there are no guarantees on any timeline.
Yeah. So what happens in the meantime if people decide that healthcare costs are just too high to bother with basic healthcare needs?
Well, there are people who are putting off healthcare, meaningful numbers of people who are putting off healthcare because of costs. And obviously, that has serious implications for their health and well-being and even how long their lives are going to be.
Yeah. So which politicians should voters support if they want lower healthcare costs?
Well, I don't want to give out endorsements on the show here. That's not really my role. But it is important to communicate to all of your representatives to make it clear to them how important this issue is to you.
So the representatives that are in place now, we can communicate with them. And then going forward, I would say maybe it's important to really check the candidates' platforms and see what they stand for and what their stance is on healthcare.
Exactly. Check the websites, check their other materials, see if they're talking about this issue. If they're not, tell them they should be, and that you need to know what their platform is. You need to know what their policy proposals are.
Nice. Okay. So where can people find out more information about the Melman Group or affordable healthcare in general?
Well, the Consumers for Quality Care has a website. If you search for Consumers for Quality Care, you'll be able to find their website, and they'll have lots of information both on the polling, but also on the substance of the issues.
Okay, so I just did that, and the website is consumers4qualitycare.org. So consumersforqualitycare.org, but 4 is the number 4, consumersforqualitycare.org. And then the Melman Group is melmangroup.com. And Mark, this has been very informative. I'm glad you're here to talk to us about this. And I want to thank you for your time and your expertise on the issue.
Well, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Ah, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats, okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally Your Squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Silver State Equality is hosting the 4th annual Silver State Equality Awards to celebrate the LGBTQ+ community's achievements next Thursday, September 8th, with cocktails from 5 to 6 p.m. and the awards and reception from 6 to 8 p.m. at the MGM Conference Center on Koval Lane. The night will honor inspirational leaders who help create a world that's healthy, just, and fully equal for all. Get your tickets or find out more details at silverstateequality.org. That's silverstateequality.org. The Southern Nevada Marine Foundation Charity Golf Tournament, hosted by the Greater Nevada Marine Corps League Detachment 186, takes place next Saturday, September 10th at Legacy Golf Course, with a 1:30 p.m. shotgun start and a 6 p.m. banquet. Register or get more information at gnd186mcl.org/golf tournament. That's G like giraffe, N like Nancy, D like dog, 186, M like Mary, CL.org/golf tournament. Park West Gallery is hosting their second annual Made in Vegas art competition. Your vote will help select the final 3 from the top 10 finalists. In-person voting will take place through Sunday, September 11th, inside Park West Gallery at the Forum Shops in Caesars Palace. Find out more information at parkwestgallery.com. That's parkwestgallery.com. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, September 12th at 8 p.m., benefiting the Serving Our Kids Foundation, and Monday, September 26th at 8 p.m., benefiting the United Citizens Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. United Way of Southern Nevada invites you to make a difference in the community on their annual Day of Caring, which rallies the caring spirit of volunteers. It takes place on Friday, September 23rd, with an 8:30 a.m. kickoff celebration at Stoney's Rock and Country and 10 a.m. showcase of volunteer opportunities with various nonprofits and community organizations. To sign up or get more information, visit uwsn.org/caring. That's uwsn.org/caring. Bunnies Matter Rescue is holding their fall festival and rummage sale on Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Floyd Lamb Park in the Bunny Building. It's fun for the whole family with games, goodies, gifts, and crafts. They also hold bunny adoptions every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Floyd Lamb Park. Find out more about bunny adoptions, the fall festival, or volunteer and donation opportunities at bunniesmatter.org or facebook.com/bunniesmatter. Project 150 is hosting their Night in Havana charity fundraiser on Saturday, September 24th at 7 p.m. at the Industrial on Industrial Road. The organization provides free support and services to homeless, displaced, and disadvantaged high school students. Find out more or get your tickets at project150.org. That's Project, the number 150.org. The Collaboration Center Foundation, or CCF, is hosting its second annual Night en Blanc Gala, a ranch chic event benefiting individuals and families of all disabilities and ages. It includes a dine-around, open bar, entertainment by Cirque Mechanics, and a live and silent auction. The event will be held on Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m. at Collaboration Center's Las Vegas Ranch Campus on Windmill between Durango and Buffalo. Get tickets or more information at collablv.org. Clark County officials and the October 1 Memorial Committee are looking for ideas and proposals for a memorial project to honor victims of the October 1, 2017 mass shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival in Las Vegas. This is the start of an 18-month process, and you have until September 30th to submit your ideas. There are other ways to get involved in the process as well. Find out all the details and submission requirements at clarkcountynv.gov/1octoberMemorial. That's clarkcountynv.gov/1octoberMemorial. The second annual Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Foundation Halloween Dog Parade and Contest is happening on Sunday, October 2nd from 10 a.m. to noon at Dollar Loan Center, the new arena in Henderson at 200 South Green Valley Parkway. Prizes will be given for Top Dog, Best Dog and Human Duo, and Best Pack. Registration is now open and the fee is $50 per dog. Proceeds from both the Halloween Dog Parade and the 2023 LVMPD Canine Calendar benefit the LVMPD Foundation to help support programs and initiatives, including lifelong veterinary and health care for active and retired service dogs. Register to participate or find out more info at lvmpdfoundation.org. That's lvmpdfoundation.org. And the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department is holding their National Night Out on Tuesday, October 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Bob Bryce Park, 2050 Bonnie Lane, as well as in downtown Summerlin, Town Square, Water Street in downtown Henderson, and other locations. Find out more information about all the events at lvmpd.com. That's lvmpd.com. The Nevada chapter of the National Hemophilia Foundation is holding their Unite for Bleeding Disorders walk for the first time since 2019 on Saturday, October 8th at 9:30 a.m. at Floyd Lamb Park. If you personally donate $25 or more, you'll receive a special Unite for Bleeding Disorders t-shirt and walk bag. Find out the details, register, or begin fundraising at hfnv.org. That's hfnv.org. The annual Ride for Kids motorcycle ride to raise funds for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation is taking place on Sunday, October 9th at 8 a.m., starting from Town Square, Las Vegas. The ride will go through Red Rock Canyon and back down to Silverton Casino. Register to ride or find out the details at rideforkids.org/Las Vegas. That's rideforkids.org/Las Vegas. Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada is holding their J.A. Booathon Bowling Fundraiser on Saturday, October 15th and Sunday, October 16th at 8:30 a.m. at the Santa Fe Bowling Center. Get all the details at jasnv.org. That's jasnv.org. Black Pearl Promotions is holding a Bring Back the 70s Disco fundraising event to support Domestic Violence Awareness Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month on Friday, October 28th from 8 p.m. till midnight at Starbase LV on West Diablo Drive. Get all the details and buy your tickets at blackpearlpromotions.com. That's blackpearlpromotions.com. The 26th Annual Boulder City Lions Club Charity Golf Tournament is happening Saturday, November 12th at 8 a.m. at Boulder City Municipal Golf Course. You can sign up now through October 1st by sending a message through social media at facebook.com/Boulder City Lions Club. That's facebook.com/Boulder City Lions Club. And Free Boutique Cycled Fashion is giving away free clothes to men, women, and children with no documents required. The boutique is located on Charleston, east of Maryland Parkway. Bring your own bags and make an appointment at facebook.com/freeboutique. That's facebook.com/freeboutique.